Praise God. Well, you can have your seat. Hallelujah. How many glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Praise God. How many expecting to hear something from the Lord tonight? Praise God. Amen. You have your Bible, turn to John 15. John 15. Hallelujah. I'm going to read those first seven verses. We're in John chapter 15, those first seven verses. We want to highlight our key text tonight is verse 7, John 15, 7. We'll start at verse 1. We're in the Gospel of John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Praise God. We're going to highlight verse 7, John 15, 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or cleans it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Say that after me. If you abide in me and my words. Say that again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Amen. We just read one of the most powerful scriptures in all of the Bible. You know, in reading this verse was a little for me. For the first time I read this scripture was like the first time I read Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. And I read Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. First time I read that, I couldn't believe that was in the Bible. I thought to myself, surely this cannot mean what I think it means. When I started reading about how we can be free from worry, because I was a worrier, you know. And when I read, you can be free from worry. That Christ, that because of who we are in him, Jesus has already paid the price so you and I can live a worry-free life. Well, I thought, man, that can't be in the Bible. I had to keep reading it. I said, if this is what I think it means, my whole life is going to change. And yet also this promise here that we just read in John 15, 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it shall be. I read that about that. Whoa, if that is what I think it means. We're going to examine that tonight. We've had such a festive week in our family. This is my youngest John here on the front row. John, this was his 22nd birthday was this past Wednesday. And this young man, you know, I'm so proud of both my boys. I just been blessed, you know, and I'm so thankful for them. And so I asked him, I said, I asked him, you know, what do you want as a gift? So he told me what he wanted. I got him the gift that he wanted. And then I asked him, I said, what would you like to do? He said, well, I got to work that day, but I'd like to go out to dinner, just have dinner with the family. I said, well, where would you like to go? So he said, I want to go to, where'd we go? We went to Cheesecake Factory. Thank you. We went to the Cheesecake. He said, I want to go to the Cheesecake Factory. I said, okay. So we went to the Cheesecake Factory. And so, you know, my whole family's there, my son, my daughter-in-law, my little grandson, and John and I. And so, you know, I told the whole family, hey, whatever you want, whatever you get, what you want. And so by now, they've learned to just take me at my word. No, you know, I actually enjoy that. I enjoy it. I tell them, get what you want. You know, because if you leave hungry, it's going to be your fault. If you didn't get something that you wanted, then it's going to be your fault. You know, the only stipulation is it got to be on the menu. You know, if If you want some buffalo meat or something, well, I don't think they have that at the Cheesecake Factory, you know. But if it's something on the menu, then get it. Dad is paying. If it's on the menu, you can have it. And you say, what you talking about? Well, in God's word, God has a menu in his word. And Jesus has paid for everything in the book. And he said, if you want it, you can have it. I've already paid for it. You know, I noticed when they bought the bill, the family just looked at me. They were looking at the waitress like, don't bring that over here. Just give it, you know, order. That's where it's going. Just looking at it over there. No, I happily paid. I happily paid. Jesus has paid. He has paid the awesome price for you and I to walk in victory, to be who we are in Christ, to have our inheritance as believers. Hey, Jesus paid the price. And when we are asking for something from the menu, that's not arrogance. That's not commanding God. He told us to ask. He told us to use his name. Hey, he told us to use his authority. He told us to, if it's on the menu, we can have it. I said, amen. And so he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And so I want to talk about the two parts of that scripture. And I want to just announce beforehand, listen, this is a powerful verse of scripture. It cannot be exhausted. I'm speaking on a small application of this scripture that the Lord has instructed me to emphasize. Is that all right? I'm certainly not speaking exhaustively on the subject of abiding in Christ, because if we were talking about abiding in Christ and just going to exhaust the subject, well, that would be more time than we have tonight. If we were going to speak on everything that it means to abide in him and have his words abide in us, and we could talk about, man, well, part of abiding in Christ is believing that he's the Son of God, that he was raised from the dead. That would be part of abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ would be believing that he's our Savior and Lord. And that would be part of abiding our redemptive realities, all that Jesus has paid for us, abiding in the fact that we know who are we in him, all of the in him scriptures and our redemptive realities. We are righteous in him. We're forgiven and redeemed. We could not exhaust the subject of talking about what it means to abide in Christ. But we feel like the Lord has instructed us to share a specific part of what it means, one small part of what it means to abide in Christ, if I could say it that way. And so it is very, this is a conditional scripture because it begins with the word if. It's not an automatic scripture. You understand what I mean by that? The scripture here starts off, if you abide in me, Jesus said, and it is implied that the word if again, if you abide in me and if my words abide in you, then you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Can I get an amen there? And so the Lord, he wants us to take him at his word. And as I say, sometimes people in their unwise criticism think, well, you know, you as believers, you're commanding the Lord. You're commanding the Lord. I wasn't commanding my family the other day. I just told them, hey, your meal is paid for. If there's something on the menu, you can have it. I paid the price. And you know, and just for a small thing like a meal, you know, I was happy when they ordered what they want. My son, as a matter of fact, my other son, Stephen, he ordered something. And a lot of times he gets steak. I said, son, you don't want a steak tonight? He said, no, Dad. He wanted whatever he got. He wanted that. But clearly, if he had wanted a steak, he could have had a steak. I said, amen. I said, if you want to walk in victory, you can walk in victory. I said, if you want to walk without fear and guilt and condemnation, you can walk without fear and guilt and condemnation. I said, if you want to walk in health, you can walk in health. I said, amen. I said, Jesus paid the price and he gets glory when we receive what he's already paid for. And so the first part of the scripture, if you abide in me, what a powerful challenge. If you abide in me, we know that word abide. It means to remain. That word abide means so many different things. But one of the things in the context that we want to share, actually, if you read the chapter 14 and then the rest of chapter 15, you really get the context under which Jesus is speaking. For example, verse 17 of John 14. Look at John 14, verse 17. And actually, I'll read 16 too. John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Anybody glad the Holy Spirit abides on the inside of us? Anybody glad that the Holy Spirit doesn't just get up and leave? He doesn't come and abide with him, then just turn around and leave. I said, amen. I said, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's down on the inside of you. Praise God. He's been given as a pledge of our, as a down payment of our inheritance. Amen. And I'm so glad God doesn't give us things and turn around, take it away. I said, when you wake up tomorrow morning, he'll be right there with you. Somebody said, but I may not feel him tomorrow morning. You may not feel him, but he's still there. God never told us to walk by feelings. He told us to walk by faith. And so, abiding in him is what we're talking about. And so this one aspect the Lord instructed us tonight to share, and it is this: to abide in him is to obey him. It's to obey him. I'm speaking about a very narrow aspect of this. I'm not speaking exclusively. I'm not stating everything that it means to abide. To abide in Christ means so many things. But we do know this. There's one aspect of abiding in him that means to obey him. Go with me to Genesis 22. To abide. Jesus said this. Jesus made a tremendous promise to you and I. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done unto you. What an amazing promise of scripture. And I want to tell you this. God is waiting for you to take him at his word. He's waiting for you to take him up on this scripture. He's waiting for you. There's some need you have in your life, some challenge that you're facing. God's waiting for you to take him at his word. I said, amen. I said the other day, I told my family, I said, get what you want. I was waiting for them to just get order whatever they wanted. I said, amen. In Genesis 22, you know this story. After waiting 25 years for a promise of God to be fulfilled in his life, Abraham is and Sarah are blessed with the promise, the fulfillment of God's promise, and his name is a little boy named Isaac. And he is the apple of Abraham's eye. And Abraham is in love with his son Isaac. And I can understand as a dad how he must have felt with my two sons. And love and my daughter-in-law, love them, and my grandson, love them all like that. And verse 20, chapter 22, we're in Genesis 22, talking about obedience. What does it mean to abide in Christ? I'm saying to you, one aspect of abiding in him is obeying God. Amen. It's obeying God. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you. What a challenge. The very thing he wanted, the very thing he was believing God for, the very thing he waited for 25 years. God tells him, take your son Isaac, take him to Mount Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. First of all, during that day, there were cultures that were full of demonic inspired influences to a demon idol named Molech, where in that culture at that time, it was not uncommon for people under demonic influence to take their children and offer them up to this idol Molech. And so it was not unheard of that someone would sacrifice a child because of the evil satanic culture that he was around. And yet in the midst of that, God speaks to Abraham and says, take the very thing you love, the very thing you've been believing me for, and take Isaac and sacrifice him. And what I love about it, Abraham gets up early the next day and heads out on the journey. in obedience to God. What are you saying about obedience, my brother? I'm saying slow obedience is no obedience at all. I'm saying we have to obey God to abide. Jesus said, if you abide in me, to abide in him would be to obey him. It would be to obey him. And hear the very thing, the very thing. Have you ever had something that the Lord, see, here's the thing. The Lord, he doesn't mind us having things. Thank God. He wants us to be blessed with things. Thank God for that. He doesn't want us to be in greed. Can I get an amen from the church there? Because there is a ditch on one side where it's possible to slip into greed. And God's never going to be pleased with that. But having said that, he wants his people blessed. I said, amen. God wants you to be blessed. But the thing is, he doesn't mind us having things. He doesn't want anything to have us. In other words, God doesn't want there to be anything between you and him. Can I say it like that? He doesn't want there to be anything that's more precious, more valuable than your relationship with your heavenly Father. He doesn't want you to feel that there's anything more precious in your life than him. I said, amen. And when something is in our life is so important to us that we give it the status and the this is more. And you can tell usually by how much time you spend with that or how much money you spend on that. But when there's something that gets between us and God, when there's something that becomes more important to our heart than our relationship with our Father God, then that's a glorified idol. And God doesn't want there to be anything or anyone more important to us than him. I said, amen. I said, not another person. Sometimes people go into a ditch because there's another person, and that other person has more stature in their life, is more valuable to them than their relationship with their Father God. But we ought to just obey God. I said, amen. And see, if you as a single person, if the Lord tells you that, hey, leave that person alone, or that person might not be the best person for you, you ought to obey God. A preacher can't get no amen preaching like that. I said, now he ain't talking to you married folk. That ain't a married folk conversation. But listen, we ought not let anybody get between us and God. And when someone begins to have a greater influence, a greater impact on our life than our Heavenly Father, look out, that's an idol. And God tested Abraham and he told him to sacrifice Isaac. And Isaac got right up and headed out. And what astounds me really is when he gets over there and he takes some young men and a donkey with him. He takes the sacrifice. He takes Isaac. And what astounds me is the faith that he was walking in. He was abiding. And you can see his faith. The Bible tells us in another point what he was thinking, that he was thinking if God was going to take his son, if somehow God was going to take his son, then he knew God would raise him back up again. And you can see Abraham's faith there at verse 5 because he tells the young man, he's walking with the young man and with Isaac. And the Bible says in verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. In other words, he was saying, we're going to go over there and worship God and we're going to come back and return to you. Amen. And he knew what God was saying to him, but he was walking in faith because he was saying, God, you promised this boy to me. You promised this boy. And so if Abraham was saying, essentially, if you want me to sacrifice him, you're going to raise him up again. I know that you're going to raise him up again. And he said, me and the boy, we're going to go over there and worship. And whatever happens, me and the boy, we're coming back here. I said, he was walking by faith. What a powerful act of obedience on Abraham's part. And then his response to Isaac, it got tougher because Abraham and Isaac started walking. They started walking toward the place where the sacrifice was going to be made. And of course, Isaac is the sacrifice and Abraham has the fire and the wood and the rope. And then Abraham has the knife and Isaac has the wood. And Isaac starts asking his father questions. And Isaac said, look, Dad, we got the rope. We got the fire. You got the knife. Where's the sacrifice? Where's your sacrifice? You don't think that was a tough question for Abraham? Look at verse 8, where he said, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And so the two of them walked on together. Abraham's answer was, God's going to provide. Sometimes, my brother and sister, it's hard to obey God. Sometimes it's challenging to obey God because you can see things in your mind and your mind can get you off. Your natural thinking can get you off track. Anybody ever been there or just me? I've said so often, you know, so many of my testimonies. I was doing so well at working for a Thrifty Car Rentals world headquarters, and the Lord was blessing me, and I got promoted several times, and Chrysler bought Thrifty, and it was still proprietary information. Nobody knew it, and I was at the other end of the parking lot, and the chief operating officer picked me up in his Jaguar. He told me, he said, Bill, get in. When we rode the rest of the way to where he parked up front. Man, he said, whatever you do, don't leave this company. He said, Chrysler just bought Thrifty. And he said, we're going to buy that complex that where they're at now at the, 31st and Sheridan, between Sheridan and Yale. He said, we're buying a new office complex. He said, I saw the plans the other day. We already got your office all measured out. And he said, the company's going straight to the top. We're taking you with us. They were saying I was going to be driving a corporate car. You know, that was big back in the day. I don't know. Back in the day, boy, you had a corporate car. Ooh, that was a big thing back then, boy. You had a corporate car, man. Corporate car. He told me that. He said, whatever you do. This is what he said. Just before we got out of his Jaguar. He said, whatever you do, don't leave this company. He said, next 6 months, don't you leave this company. I said, yes, sir. And I wasn't going nowhere. Because the Lord was blessing Brother Bill, and Brother Bill was glad about it till I got in the elevator. It was like the next day or the day after that, I got in the elevator, and the Lord spoke to me just like that. How many know God can speak to you? God can tell you things just like you snapped your finger. Spoke to me in the elevator, in between floors. I had only finished 1 year of Rhema at that time. And the Lord told me, go back to Rhema. And I knew exactly what that meant. He was telling me, give that job up. I knew exactly what he was saying. I dropped to my knees in between the floors. I'm the only one in the elevator. I dropped to my knees in the floor. I said, oh, God, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll give my job up. But I did not want to give that job up. They offered me some stock options if I would stay. Oh, I wanted to dang give them jobs. I want them stock options. Oh, bam. Sometimes it's hard to obey God. But listen to me, you better listen to him. Listen to me, God knows more than you know. And he can look ahead and he can see what's going on ahead. You and I can barely see our hand in front of our face. But God, he can see tomorrow. God, he can see 6 months from now. Hey, God, he can see you a year from now. I said, you better obey him. You'll be more blessed obeying him. You'll come out so far ahead obeying him. Your mind will tell you what you're losing. Your mind will tell you what you're not getting. Your mind will tell you don't do it. Your mind will tell you where. Oh, your mind will say, well, I'm comfortable right here. But if you'll let God break you out of your comfort zone when it becomes an issue of obedience, whoo, eventually. I don't know how long it'll take, but eventually you'll come out on top. I said, you come out on top. I said, you come out on top. God's not going to owe you anything. He will bless you. He will multiply things to you. So the Lord told me, just obey him. And so I told him in that elevator, I will obey you. And if they offered me things and were asking me not to go, and I told him I was going in the end, he blessed me so much they gave me the stock options anyway. On my way out the door, they still gave me the stock options. And I hadn't even started working with FedEx then. You know my FedEx stories, but God blessed me so much. But I never missed what I gave up because he had something so much better. And this is what I want to tell you. You're not going to miss what you give up. God's got something so much better for you. I said, if you'll just wait on the Lord, he's got something so much better for you. Hey, if you could see yourself 6 months down the road, a year down the road, you'd be so blessed if you'll obey him. Don't let a person, don't let a job, don't let an entity, don't let anything get between you and the Lord. Let there be no space between you and your Father God. I said, amen. I said, obedience is the best way. And so what happened to Abraham? Well, you know the rest of the story. Verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. I said, God, he's your awesome provider. And if you'll obey him, sometimes to obey him is just to stay put. Can I get an amen there? Sometimes you'd be tempted to run off, to go on home, go back where you're more comfortable. Hey, when God tells you to stay put, obey him. Because when you obey him, I'm telling you, he will bless you. Obey him. Obey God. Obey God. And through whatever comes your way, there came a time in my life, never expected it, never thought I would ever go through a divorce. But there came a time in my life the Lord told me, now it's time, son, to get up. You have to move on. You can't camp here. You have to get up and walk on. You know what I had to do? I had to get up and obey God. I said, amen. Amen. I shared a school Bible this morning. Came a time the Lord told me, now you're going to have to speak to your storm and declare your storm is over. When the Lord told me that, I didn't feel like declaring my storm was over. You know what? My storm was still raging. But the Lord told me, stand up and speak to your storm and declare by faith that your storm is over. And I rose to my feet and I said, the storms around me are over in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease and desist. Woo! Hey! Glory be to God. And I say, there entered into me a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that rocked my mind, and a peace that rocked my body and my spirit. I said, amen. Amen. And the Lord took the storm out of me. And there was a storm around me, but there was no storm in me. Glory be to God. I said, amen. And so obeying God. Let's go back to our text. Go back to John. Go back to John 15. One aspect we just said of abiding in him. If you abide in me, Jesus said, my words abide in you. Just speaking on one aspect is simply to obey God. What's he telling you? What's the Lord saying to you? Well, you're going to have to obey that. See, whatever that is, get your eyes off people. Get your eyes off a man. You're going to have to obey that. Oh, but then the blessing will show up at your house. The blessing will show up right there at your apartment. I said, the blessing will show up at your job. The blessing will show up in your car. The blessing will show up in your yard. The blessing will show up at your bank. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Let's talk about the other side of this if. The first one is if you abide in me. We said one small part of that is to obey God. What's he saying to you, my brother and sister? In what area is he talking to you? You'll have to ask the Holy Spirit. The second area, and my words abide in you. He said, if my words abide in you, ask what you will. Now, in this part, if my words abide in you, here we're talking about saturation, if I could say it that way, allowing our minds and our hearts to get saturated with the word. If you abide in me and my word saturates your mind, my word saturates your heart. When we get saturated, you know, we understand saturation here, especially here in Oklahoma recently, right? We understand saturation. It has rained so much that the ground has gotten saturated. And there comes a point in the water table that the water table can get so high, you know, and you remember we had all that rain and then it didn't rain for 4 or 5 days. But then it rained again and my flood alarms on my phone went off right again. Why? Because there was flood alerts. It just rained. It rained for like a half a day and then there was flood alerts. Why? The ground is already saturated. And when the ground is saturated, it don't take long. It doesn't take long for flood stage to come. And God is saying to you and I want you to take my word and I don't want a casual reading is wonderful. That's all cute. God is saying, I want you to allow your mind to get saturated with my word. Go with Matthew 4 real quick. Matthew 4, you know, Jesus is our example. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verse 7. Jesus, he was saturated with the word. When he faced his temptation there in the wilderness, verse 4, start, Matthew 4, 4, but he answered and said, it is written. You know why Jesus said that? The enemy was tempting him. You know why the word came out of him? He was saturated. He was saturated with the word. Down at verse 7, Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written. You know why he said it's written again? He was saturated with the word. I said he was saturated. Down there at verse 10, then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written. It is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus was saturated with the word. And see, when you're dry, you have to take extra time. Take extra time, what? To get saturated. Sometimes we run off too quick. Sometimes we face a situation, but we don't spend enough time in the word getting saturated. Oh, but when God's holy, living, alive, anointed word starts to get saturated in your mind, I tell you, something supernatural starts to happen when the word starts to saturate you. When you just stay in the book, you stay in the book and you get a promise concerning what you're going through. 2 Peter 1:4 said, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might become partakers. Listen, the thing is, when we take those promises and get our mind saturated with the word. Whoa, then the word slips down into our spirit. The word, when we get our mind saturated, the word then drops down into our heart. Oh, and look out when the saturated word enters the heart of a man or woman of God. Woo! Something around you is going to change. Hey, some stronghold on you is going to break. Hey, some blessing towards you is coming. When you get the saturated word in your mind and it drops down in your spirit. And then Matthew 12:34 said, out of the abundance of the heart. Help me now. The mouth speaks out of the abundance of the heart. Hey, when you get God's anointed word to saturate your mind, I tell you, your problems begin to fade away. When God's anointed word begins to saturate you, woo, what people are doing against you begins to fade away. When God's anointed word begins to saturate you, what you're going through all of a sudden starts to seem light and it just don't seem like it's that big of a problem because you know your God is greater than any problem that you're facing. And then your promises start working their way out from your heart to your mouth and you start speaking forth the promises of God. Hey, your situation's going to change. I said, I wish I had an amen. Because your situation's going to change. And I remember I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how am I going to get a new roof? I had to sell my house after the divorce. I had to sell my house and the house wasn't selling because my roof needed repair. And the insurance company called and said, we can't insure that roof anymore. It's a wood shake shingle and it's a fire hazard. And by our new policies, we cannot, where your house is insured. They said, we have to drop your roof. And then I put the house on the market. And then the house wasn't selling. My neighbor told my real estate agent, he said, well, Bill left for church and said somebody showed up to look at his house. They walked all around Bill's house and all they did was point to the roof. He said, he said, it seemed to me like they were interested, but they just kept pointing to that roof. He said, I think Bill lost the sale because his roof. And I was talking to Jesus. Because I was talking to the Father, because when I started talking to the Father, man, that roof was occupying my attention. I can't get this house sold without that roof. And that roof was that wound up costing $24,000. Too long a story, but they'd put an old roof on top of it. They'd put a, when the roof had been redone years ago, instead of tearing off the old roof, they just put a new roof on top of that one. All that had to be stripped away, all the decking redone. $24,000 would it cost. And I didn't have that. I'm going through a divorce, and I got to sell my house, and my roof is holding up my house. And the Lord told me in my prayer time, he said, go out there and speak to that roof. And I went out there and spoke to the roof. I got in my car, I was backing out for work, and I stopped the car and spoke to the roof, and it sounded like the roof spoke back to me. I spoke to the roof. It's not like the roof told me, you ain't got the money to pay for me. Where are you getting the money from? I drove on the world. But the Lord told me, speak to that roof again. Speak to that roof in faith. Get my promises down in your heart. Get so saturated. Get so saturated. Get so saturated. Get so saturated. And I took some time to get in the Word. And I started getting in the Word of God. And I started claiming God's mighty promises. I started meditating. You understand what I'm saying? Started meditating on the Word. Talking about saturation. I'm talking about Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night. I'm talking about Psalm 1. In his law, he meditates in the law day and night. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about Philippians 4:8. Let your mind dwell on these things. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about Psalm 63. I started meditating on promises that had to do with that roof. And see, at first when I started speaking, I was intimidated. But as I meditated in the Word saturated my mind. And then the Word dropped down into my spirit. And then that anointed living Word started coming out of my mouth. And I looked at the roof and I said, in the name of Jesus, I got a brand new roof. And I didn't hear no reply. Hey! And it wasn't long before my insurance agent called and he said, Bill, just want to tell you. John Paul, he said, Bill, just want to tell you. He said, man, you've been a long time client, long time customer. I just got a brand new insurance product to sell. He said, you fit this bill perfectly. He said, you have to be a long time customer. You have to pay your premiums. And he said, you have to have had little to no claims. He said, you fit those criteria. He said, I went ahead and put you into this new product. I said, what about my roof? He said, your roof is covered. Went from no coverage one day with a saturated mind, speaking day after day, the Word saturated down into my spirit, speaking that Word, that anointed Word, that living Word out of my mouth. I got a brand new roof in Jesus' name. I don't have to know where the money's coming from. I got a brand new roof in Jesus' name. I don't have to know how it's going to get done. I got a brand new roof in Jesus' name. I don't have to know anything in the natural. I got a brand new roof in Jesus' name. And I kept speaking that anointed Word out of my heart now, out of my heart. See, the first time I spoke, speaking from my mind. Oh, but after I got saturated, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. And so he said that roof is completely covered. And they came out and did that roof household 2 weeks later. Yeah. Didn't pay a penny. In the end, they gave me $500. Yeah. Let the Word saturate my head first, my mind, and then down into my heart. The thing about it, if you abide in me, the Lord promised, and my words abide in you. See, when we get the Word saturated, see, then God can guide us with his Word. Then, see, when the Word saturates us, now he can speak to us. He can direct us. He'll even tell us things to avoid praying. Have you ever been there? Let me just say this. The thing he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it'll be done. What's he saying? Because you won't be asking for the wrong thing. You'll be asking for something that's on the menu. You'll be asking for something that's in accordance with his will. Can I get an amen there? 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, then we know we have the petitions we have desired from him. I said 1 John 5:14. Yeah. And so we won't be asking for the wrong thing. Why? The word, he'll guide us with the word. He'll direct us with his spirit. No, now leave that alone. No, now pray this way, not that way. No, now this is better for you. See, God sees what you can't see.
That's right.
He knows your budget today, and he knows your budget 1 year from now. And God will say, no, now do this one over here now. Don't. You say, well, Lord, I'm thinking about this. He said, no, when that saturated word's on the inside of you, you'll know what to ask for. He can tell you like Israel. Tell Israel, don't ask for a king. They said, we want a king. Don't ask for a king. We want a king. Don't ask for a king. He gave him a king. He let him have it. But it didn't turn out good for him most of the time. And so you won't ask for things amiss. You won't ask for things out of greed if you saturate it with the word. I said, amen. And plus, we have the Holy Spirit who will help us. Now, the other day we were ordering, you know, the waitress, she came out and everybody asked, well, what about this? What about this? How does this taste? What would this be like? And she helped us. I remember one time I had taken my wife to Memphis, and we were, I loved cooking shows anyway. And this cooking show would come on every Saturday morning. I taped this cooking show every Saturday morning. And this couple, this husband and wife, they lived in Memphis, Tennessee. They had several restaurants in Memphis. And I bet you I taped 50 shows. They would cook stuff. Like they made one time on their show, I taped it. They made some baked macaroni and cheese. And then they fried up some bacon, and then they chopped that bacon up. Don't send me no angry letters. They chopped that bacon up, and they sprinkled the bacon all over the mac and cheese. Then they rebaked that thing. I said, well, I'm going to try that thing. I'm just saying, I was taping, you know, they had all kind of recipes. They're cooking stuff. And so I taped all these shows. We're going to Memphis. So I said, we ought to look up one of those restaurants. I'll take you to the restaurant. And we went over there to the restaurant. I'm talking about our helper now. I'm talking about God will help you know what to pray. So we went over to the restaurant. So I said, you know, I had seen on the show, they didn't bake that macaroni and cheese. They dropped the bacon on the macaroni and cheese. So I said, hey, I want some of that macaroni and cheese. So the waitress, she said, I wouldn't order that if I was you. I said, what you mean you wouldn't order? We didn't come all the way to Memphis. This is one of the main things I came for. What you mean don't order that? She said, well, she called the couple's name. She said, they're not here today, but the grandmother made the macaroni and cheese. And they're gone. And she said, I'm just telling you, the macaroni and cheese ain't that good. And I was so disappointed. I said, I came all the way out here for that macaroni and cheese with the bacon. You know, they sprinkle the bacon. She said, I know what you're talking about. She said, I wouldn't order that macaroni. She said, I'll tell you what, I'll bring you a little dish of it. And then you taste it, and if you want it, you go ahead and order it. And she bought out that little dog. I said, no, I ain't ordered that macaroni and cheese. Actually, you haven't ordered. No. I went to order something else off the menu. She said, I wouldn't order that. I think, so what kind of place is this? Now, everything I said, you said, don't order that. I didn't ask for no taste test. I said, I take your word. I order something else. What are you saying? The Holy Ghost will help you know what to order. And when he says, don't order that right there, then we ought to obey him. And when you're saturated with the word, see, he can lead us and guide us. And you just start knowing on the inside. You'll have an inside knowing. You'll just start knowing things on the inside. I better leave that alone. I'll pray this way. And it may not be anything bad with that, but it may not be the season. I wish I had an amen here. It may not be the season for that. And if you can wait, you know, Acts 16, Paul trying to go into Bithynia, the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Don't go there. They tried to go into Asia. The Lord said, don't go there. And they went on down to Troas, had a vision, and night went on over to Macedonia, you know. Said the Spirit of Jesus said, wouldn't allow him to go. Said the Holy Spirit told him no. But then you read over in Acts 19, around verse 10, all of Asia was saturated with the word. It wasn't that God's will wasn't to saturate Asia. Just read Acts 19. He said saturated Asia. But the timing of the Lord for them to go, the Lord knew for whatever reason, hey, don't go there right now. Go here now, not there. And I said, when we're sensitive to the Lord, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share along the lines that you gave us. And now we just leave the word. We leave the word with your Holy Spirit. And Father God, we ask you to confirm in the heart of every listening ear with relevant personal application to each life, what it is you have for them, how this promise, this tremendous promise applies to them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Father, we are in awe of your promise. So fill us with your word and guide us by your spirit. Oh, Father, and thank you for enabling us to see the promises of God fulfilled in our lives. We trust you and we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, my brother and sister, as our prayer team comes forward now, if there's anything between you and God, you know you need to get that right. If there's anything between you and the Lord, you better get that straight. Because nothing is going to go right if Christ isn't the center. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so let him be the Lord. And if there's something not right, there could be something, you know, it could be anything. It could be a job, it could be a person, it could be a thing, an inanimate object. But don't let anything exist between you and the Lord. And then take time to get filled with, saturated with the word. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Yeah. And when we allow that word, that anointed word to saturate our minds and to saturate our hearts, wow, it's going to come out of our mouth with power. God's trying to get something to you. And if you haven't had answers to prayers in certain areas, God's trying to help you so he can get answers to prayer. He said that our joy would be made full as he answers prayer in our life. So let him do that for you. You need prayer tonight for anything. That's what these anointed prayer workers are up here for. Guys, just come to the guys. Ladies, just come to the ladies, of course. You want to be saved tonight. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. You want to be filled with the Spirit. You want to just pray because there's something between you and God, and you want a prayer partner, a prayer buddy. Come on up here, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. If you came tonight and it was your first night, we want to thank you again for coming. Can we show by round of applause? Don't you appreciate all the people their first night? And if you would, if you'd be so kind, go with our anointed hospitality workers here, and they are going to give you a great gift, as Pastor Marvin promised. Going to give you a great gift, and we just want to bless you on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen. They've had a whirlwind trip. Just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful trip. Look on Facebook and or get this morning's service and replay that, because they shared part of their trip. Just an awesome trip, what the Lord did. And then be here Wednesday for Hour of Power, okay? But remember the promise of God to you tonight. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, God's promise, if you will abide in me and my words will abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. God's got great things in store for you.